Our theme tonight is The Ducks Are Squawking, and this is a blast from the past. Luis Mendez came to this country as a young Cuban refugee and had dreams of a legal career in Cuba destroyed. Instead, he worked his way up through the back offices of Morgan Stanley, rising to build the Capital Markets Group. He was recruited to run the Capital Markets Group at Dillon Reed, where when I worked at the firm. And when the market was booming and investors were screaming for product they could buy, he would boom in his thick Cuban accent, "The ducks are squawking. I must feed them." And so it is in the developed world right now. The S&P has risen to even higher PEs. The European markets have moved up a little bit. And it is also a very important election year. And with this rise in the markets, you hear the squawking sound of investors and corporate executives and bankers all seeking ways of maintaining and growing corporate earnings, and that's in the face of slower growth throughout the developed world. Typically, in a non-presidential election year, that's a quieter kind of election. Not this time. This is building up to be a very fierce election competition. Congress is going home to face some very angry constituents. You have now over 100 million Americans receiving mean-tested subsidy. That's food stamps. That's unemployment compensation. We see the latest battle over extending the long-term unemployment compensation. That's welfare. It's all the mean-tested subsidies. And that's because household incomes are falling. The middle class has been squeezed. The labor force participation rate has reached a 35-year low at 63%. So free trade agreements, trillions missing from the government, bailouts, Obamacare, there's a lot to be angry about. The loss on gun control has sent a very clear message. What it says is all the money on the planet cannot buy everything. You cannot fool all the people all of the time. We see Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid pull the rug out from under the president after the State of the Union, saying, you know, I'm not going to play on any trade agreements. And that's because the Democrats are very concerned about losing the Senate. They're only six seats ahead. The Republicans think they can make real progress. And so you're going to see a real fight on the ground, seat by seat, for the Republicans trying to get those six Senate seats. And it's, you know, it's March. It's not even, we haven't even changed to daylight saving times, and already the fight is very heated. So control of Congress right now is more serious than it's ever been. And that's because with the financial coup d'etat behind us, the serious reengineering of the federal budget and the credit mechanism is on the way. And we're down to muscle. There's no more fat. You know, now you're talking about powerful people having to steal from powerful people. So the reengineering of the federal budget and credit mechanism is a real fight, and the breakaways want a clear path to rock and roll. So, you know, who controls that mechanism during this period is going to be very, very important. So it makes the election a very sensitive issue. So control of Congress is serious. Well, what does this mean? With the S&P rising ever higher, the corporations are screaming for income. And what do they want their congressmen? Their congressmen can't deliver them a government check or a government purchase. Then what the government can help them do is help them slice out, you know, the assets around the world that can help bolster their earnings. We said at the beginning of the year, The Economist was saying, you know, what's the next game? Privatization. Well, this is the face of privatization. So literally what you do is you look around the world and you see what are the places in the world where income and assets are trading at low PEs, that's price earnings ratio, or no PEs because they're not securitized, and where the locals are not quote unquote fully exploiting the assets themselves and don't have the military and intelligence power to protect what they have. So they're vulnerable to the machinations of others. So this is our old friend, the tapeworm. If you haven't read my article, The American Tapeworm, and it was when I first introduced the concept, but the tapeworm is hungry and it's on the hunt. And that's what's going on in Ukraine. We see the centralized powers looking to enrich their hungry tapeworm systems by whacking up the Ukraine's assets. We have the members of the G7, particularly the U.S. and Russia, But Europe and China are in there as well. And they're leading the dance to kind of slice up the Ukraine, each to feed to their various ducks. Whatever politicians feed the ducks the most will win. And don't for a minute think that, you know, they're different ducks on different sides. If I'm a corporation, if Putin will give me the most, I'll take it from him. If Obama will give me the most, I'll take it from him. So we have the investors on probably on both sides of the fence. Whatever happens, the Ukraine people will lose and probably lose quite badly. In one sense, think of the dance you're watching in the Ukraine as a dance between sovereign nations fronting for factions of investors who control high PE capital and the military intelligence capacity to protect it versus those who don't. So the centralization of ownership and control of assets is proceeding in a very brutal fashion, and unfortunately shrinking wealth as it